the elders have chosen to continue with the summer series this evening. And so the lesson this evening is going to be on Mary Magdalene, living life appreciatively. This topic of major lessons from minor characters, you know, most of these people who are termed minor characters that have been chosen, the reason they're called minor characters, there's just not that much information in the Bible about these characters, but yet they play a major role in different events that have happened in the Bible. It doesn't go into great detail about who they are or why they did what they did, and so a lot of times we have to look at the events that they are involved in and infer from their actions or from their reaction to certain events what their motives were, what type of people they were. And that's the case a lot of times in the Bible. We're not told exactly what someone is thinking, but by their actions we judge what they were thinking. And such is the case here with Mary Magdalene. This evening I'd like to look at some common misconceptions about who Mary Magdalene is. There's a lot of false assumptions or false... she's been thought of as being different people in the Bible and different events in the Bible that have been attributed to her that aren't actually her. And so we're going to talk about some of those. Also, who Mary Magdalene is, what the Bible actually does say about Mary Magdalene. Discuss how Mary portrays this attribute of being appreciative in her life. Why does Mary live her life this way or show this appreciativeness? And what do we see in her life as being her motivation for living her life this way? And then ultimately, how can we also show these same type of attributes in our own lives? I'm going to have to kind of turn around quite a bit, so I apologize. So first of all, some common misconceptions about who Mary Magdalene is. In the years after the first century, there were lots of different stories about who Mary Magdalene was and attributing different things in the Bible to Mary Magdalene that actually were not true, or at least are not seen in the Bible as exactly being Mary Magdalene. Mary was a very common name in that culture and in that time, period of time. And so there are lots of Marys in the Bible. And many times when you hear, you know, it's Mary Magdalene and Mary the wife of this and Mary the wife of this and Mary, and there's like five Marys in one story. And so determining which Mary is which a lot of times is very difficult. And even events and people in the Bible that were not her began to be thought of as definitely being Mary and being preached in a sense especially from the Catholic Church about who Mary was. One of those such things was that Mary was thought to be the sister of Lazarus and Martha. And we see these stories in Luke chapter 10 and John chapter 11. Luke chapter 10 being the event that Mike Benson talked about a couple weeks ago, where Jesus goes to the home of Mary and Martha, and Mary and Martha is running around, you know, the house trying to prepare this meal for Jesus, and Mary is just sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha, you know, kind of tells Jesus, you know, tell Mary she's not helping me at all. And Jesus turns to Martha and says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. And so that story, that Mary there, has been attributed to being Mary Magdalene. And luckily for Mike, that is not Mary Magdalene. Otherwise, you'd get the same lesson again tonight. And then in John chapter 11, the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. Obviously, the same Mary there being attributed as being Mary Magdalene, but obviously is not Mary Magdalene. Another such story is that she's been thought to have been the adulterous woman in John chapter 8. When the Pharisees and scribes bring the woman before Jesus and say, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery, and they tell him, you know, what are you going to do about it? And Jesus stoops down and writes in the sand and then, you know, turns to them and says, he who is without sin cast the first stone. This event definitely did happen, but that woman was not Mary Magdalene. And that was something that was said to be true, that was Mary Magdalene. But in fact, it was not. She's also confused with the woman who washes Jesus' feet with her tears and wipes them with her hair in Luke chapter 7 in verse 37 through 50. This woman is called the woman of the city, a sinner. And she brings this alabaster flask of ointment. She stands behind Jesus and weeps, and her tears cover Jesus' feet, and she wipes her tears off with her hair and then takes the alabaster ointment and anoints Jesus' feet. And so this is another woman who has been confused as being Mary Magdalene. And the fact that Mary has been confused with all of these different women, and many of them not the most pious of women, she gets a reputation of being a prostitute. And that's something that we're not explicitly told in the Bible. And so this common misconception is then perpetrated very frequently after the first century, even several hundred years after the first century, is when many of these stories are told. And I'm not on the right slide. I knew this was going to happen. And then ultimately, we see here in the most recent years that many of these ideas were made popular in this book and movie, The Da Vinci Code. And kind of the most scandalous or salacious of these lies is the fact that Jesus and Mary Magdalene had this romantic relationship. And if you've seen the book or read the movie, I'm not going to... Other way around. Read the book, seen the movie. I'm not going to get into all of that, but obviously all of that are lies as well. Most of this false information was really propagated or made popular by Pope Gregory the Great in the 7th century. And you can see how far from the time of Mary Magdalene this was really being kind of made popular in the 7th century. And really because of who he was, being the Pope, and the fact that at that time, you know, people were not really encouraged to read their Bibles, especially from the Catholic Church. They were, you know, take the word of the Pope, whatever he says is truth. And so Gregory the Great really kind of made these things popular in the 7th century. And I thought it was unique, or maybe not unique, but ironic, that the quote that I got off the internet was, "A sin that is not quickly blotted out by repentance is both a sin and the cause of sin. Sin becomes more scandalous when the sinner is honored for his position." So I thought that was kind of unique that he would say that. So what are some things we definitely know about Mary? And obviously the things that we know about Mary are going to come from the Bible. We know that she was from Magdala. Magdalene was not her last name. That was determining, that was showing where she was from. Magdala was a small fishing village on the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee. I'm not even going to try to use that. But you can see it there, right there on the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee. A small fishing village where Mary was from. We also know that Mary was one of the disciples of Jesus. Mary appears to be with Jesus even in the very beginning. She's from the area where Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee. We see that in Luke chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, "Soon afterwards he began going around from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod Stewart, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means." Can you hear me when I turn that direction? It's not too bad. Okay. It's just in my own head. So here you see, you know, in the beginning of Luke chapter 8, that Mary Magdalene is spoken of as being with the disciples, one of the disciples of Jesus, traveling around from city to city. There in the beginning, you know, in the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, part of the disciples following him. And here in verse 3, it even says that that she is one from whom seven demons or seven evil spirits had gone out. Another thing that we learn about Mary from this is that she supported Jesus and the disciples. It says here in verse 3 that Mary and several others were supporting Jesus and the disciples financially throughout their ministry. And I think one thing to think about is likely at that time, women who were unmarried, it doesn't seem to be that Mary was married, was very difficult for them to provide for themselves. I mean, it wasn't like they, you know, could get a job at here or there. You know, many times that the widows or people who were unmarried didn't have a way of providing for themselves. But Mary was one who would give to the point that she was able to provide for other people, not only for herself. So something that was unique about Mary, I think, also. Another thing we learn is that Mary was at the cross, was present at the cross with Jesus. In John chapter 19 and verse 25, it says, "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing, Mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household." And so here we see Mary standing so close to the cross that she can even have a conversation with Jesus, or at least the people that she's with have a conversation with Jesus as he's on the cross. Really, the largest amount of information that we hear about Mary Magdalene, or that we read about Mary Magdalene, is in the events surrounding Jesus' death, both his burial and his resurrection. Mary was at the tomb when Jesus was laid in the tomb. After they took him off the cross, and Joseph of Arimathea takes the body and has this new tomb. It says in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 59, "And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the grave." She was also the first to see the empty tomb the next day. In Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 9, it says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and rise again the third day. Rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and the rest. Not only was Mary the first to see the open tomb, but she was also the first to be the first eyewitness of the resurrected Jesus Christ. In John's account in John chapter 20, and I realize these are kind of long reading, so I apologize. But in verses 11 through 18 it says, "But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been laying. And they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' And Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, 'Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God.' And Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, 'I have seen the Lord,' and that he had said these things to her." So being the first at the empty tomb, being the first at the tomb in general, being the first to see Jesus resurrected, I think another interesting thing about Mary is that we see in the time that Jesus appears to his disciples and to several other people right after his death, Mary is one of the only people who believes immediately almost. Before anyone else does, Mary believes that Jesus has risen from the dead. We see in Luke chapter 24, in verse 11, after Mary and the other women had seen the angels at the empty tomb and went back to tell the other disciples, it says that the words that Mary spoke appeared to be nonsense, and they did not believe them. And then in Mark's account, in Mark chapter 16, in verses 10 through 13, it says, "She went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. After that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking on the way to the country. They went away and reported it to others, but they did not believe them either." And so here, you know, two other examples, or not two other examples, but Mark puts those two examples together, that Mary goes back to the disciples, reports to them that Jesus is resurrected. They don't believe him. And obviously referring to the events on the road to Emmaus, even after those men see Jesus, they go to report to other people, and they don't believe them either. But Mary was a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. We see in these actions that we see throughout everything that we read about Mary, that she believed Jesus, that she was a faithful disciple. And although we don't know very much about her life before she became a disciple of Christ, we can see through her actions that she was a disciple who was committed. And so, how does Mary show this appreciative life? Definitely in the examples that we just read, pretty much everything that you kind of know about Mary Magdalene, these are some of the things that I took away from those examples, from the things that we just read. Mary was willing to make a change. Mary was most likely living her life like any other Jewish women of that time, probably trying to survive being a woman alone. And obviously a lot of this is speculation, because we don't know a lot about her life before she became a Christian, or before she became a disciple of Christ, I should say. But she was likely taught the law as a child, might have even been looking for the Messiah. But we see that when she is presented with Jesus, when Jesus teaches her, she immediately changes her life, or at least she follows Jesus. We don't know what she did before, but she immediately becomes a disciple of Christ. She makes a change in her life, and was able to recognize the right thing and have the courage to do the right thing. Secondly, she was willing to follow Jesus and follow through. We see that in the very beginning, Mary was with Jesus in the beginning of his ministry, as Jesus went from town to town preaching about the kingdom. And we even see her at the end, even as Jesus is being buried and resurrected. She's right there with him, stayed with him all the way. And it states that other supporters of Jesus and disciples turned away. You know, we see that the events around Jesus' arrest and those things that, you know, the disciples scattered, many of them, but Mary did not. She stood with him. She was there at the cross. She was there at the beginning and the end, determined and committed. And also, she was willing to make sacrifices. Obviously, leaving your comfortable life, or maybe not, might not have been comfortable for Mary, but following Jesus, going from town to town, leaving what you know of your own life and following Jesus is in itself a sacrifice. And I think we see this over and over in the Bible, that people will immediately drop their lives and follow after Jesus. We don't know how exactly that happened with Mary, but we see in the examples of the other apostles and the disciples, many of them dropped their nets and immediately followed Jesus. And so likely Mary did the same. Another way that she made sacrifices was financially, as we see in Luke chapter 8, that she supported the disciples, she supported Jesus, not only emotionally and being there with them, traveling around, but financially from her own means. And lastly, she was not afraid of persecution. Although, again, we're not really told of any physical persecution that Mary may have undergone, we see all throughout the entire book of Acts how the disciples and the apostles of God, of Jesus, were persecuted over and over again. And so it's likely that Mary was the same, had the same things happen to her. But even in the things that we are told about Mary, she was not afraid of the Jews. She was not afraid of the persecution that would maybe come by becoming a disciple of Jesus. She was at the cross, standing there, while people are hurling abuse at Jesus. She's close enough to talk to him. She was at the grave while he was buried, and then the first to see him resurrected. And at this time, where do we see many of Jesus' disciples? At the evening of that very same day, we read in John chapter 20 that they were in a room with the door shut because they were afraid of the Jews. Mary lived her life appreciatively, not being afraid of the cross of Jesus. Make sure I'm on the right here. So lastly, why do you think Mary lived her life this way? What do we see in her life? What do we see in the things that she's done that may have been her motivation for doing these things? I think firstly, Mary understood who she was. Mary is first spoken of as one from whom seven demons were cast out, most likely by Jesus. And although I don't know a lot about demon possession, I can only imagine that people who were possessed by demons were outcasts. I mean, how can you not be outcast when you're demon possessed? And even in that culture, most likely were looked on as being, you know, servants of Satan, that they were evil people being demon possessed. And so living her life this way, and then ultimately Jesus casting those demons out of her, you can only imagine the feeling of appreciativeness, of love, of gratitude that she had to Jesus after those demons being cast out of her. When she was freed from that bondage, Mary then understood who she was before she met Jesus and who she was after what Jesus had done for her. And although Mary may not have been a woman of the night, may not have been this prostitute that she was thought to have been, She definitely realized that she was a woman who needed Jesus. And lastly, I think she understood who Jesus was. You see how quickly she became a disciple and how determined she was to follow Jesus all the way to the end. She understood who the Messiah was. And when she found him, she stopped everything and she followed him even to the end. And I think that's why she lived her life appreciatively. She knew who she was before, she knew who Jesus was, she knew what Jesus did for her, and so she turned her life and followed Jesus because of that. And so my question tonight for you is, do you know who Jesus is? Do you have the knowledge that Mary had at that point to make that decision to follow Christ? Do you know that he's the Son of God? Do you know that he came to this world and died a cruel and painful death on the cross for you? Mary knew that all too well. She stood at the cross and watched him suffer. And you too, figuratively, stand at the cross of Jesus. If you're not a Christian, your sins have separated you from God. And in a real sense, your sins have put him on that cross. And so I ask you tonight, will you stop everything? Will you follow Jesus as Mary did, living your life appreciatively, denying yourself and living for him? Just like Mary did and all the disciples before you have done, we have water. You can be baptized even this evening. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you know that you need his blood to cleanse you from your sins, you can do that even tonight. And so if you need Jesus, if you realize your condition in this world and you'd like to become a Christian, a son of God, a child of his, you can do that even tonight as we stand and sing.